Psalm 143 is a psalm of David, and it's a pretty moving psalm. One of the many things that David has taught us in these psalms is that God does not want us to be mediocre in prayer. He wants us passionate. And the particular thing that David emphasizes in the psalm is that he is a servant of God. That Hebrew word servant means that David was one who worked in the service and business of God. David was one who labored for God, and he was under attack, and there were those who literally were seeking to destroy him and crush him. Because he's a true servant of God, he knew he had the great privilege of praying and talking to God, and that's what he said. A servant of God who's under attack has the privilege and right to pray and ask God for his deliverance and guidance. This is a huge study, this book of Psalms. There's been a key theme that is been coming up over and over and over again in almost every one of the Psalms, and that theme is prayer. It's clear that God wants us to be praying to Him. God wants us to cry out to Him. When we're involved in the business of God, in one way or another, every believer is involved in the business of God. We're going to discover that there will be times when we come under attack. And those attacking us are real people with real names, and they sometimes desire to be our enemies, and it's in these very moments that we need to cry out to God. When a servant of God is under attack, and when a servant of God cries out to God, he will discover that God is uniquely tuned into that specific situation. David was the biggest and the best servant of God that was alive at that time. But he never got too big to stop depending on God and talking to God. He knew he needed God's help over and over again. And so he asked God for it. You see, David asked God to hear and answer his prayer. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Because God is all-knowing and he's everywhere, he obviously sees everything. Knows everything. When David asked God to hear his prayer, he is specifically asking God to tune into his prayer request and to answer him. David was a servant under attack, and he's asking God to specifically answer his personal prayer. And he bases his prayer on God's faithfulness, and any confidence that we can have and hope that we have in prayer is based on who and what God is. God is faithful. He's always faithful to his character, his word, his people. It's that very quality that moved David to prayer. And God has promised to hear the prayers of his people, and God is always faithful to do what he says in his word. And then he bases his prayer on God's righteousness. God is a righteous God, and when his people are under attack, God will come to their rescue, and he will defend them. And then we see that David asked God not to enter into judgment against him. Look at verse 2. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. It's important to see David had just appealed to the righteousness of God as a basis for answering prayer, and David knows that the righteousness of God condemns everyone. No one has ever measured up to the righteousness of God. One time a young man who went to a friend of Spurgeon said, I do not think I am a sinner. The friend said, would you be willing to tell your mother and your sister everything you have ever done, said, or thought? The man said no. So a friend of Spurgeon said, then how dare you say in the presence of the holy God that you're not a sinner? David knew he was a sinner. Even the best of servants are still sinners. There's no man or woman alive who's never or ever measured up to the righteous standards of God. In fact, David believed this and taught this to his son Solomon. We see that in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. As David prayed, his thinking was this: I am a sinner, and God can send any kind of trouble he wants to me legitimately. However, I'm also a servant of God, and I'm asking that God not enter into judgment with me, but that he will come to my rescue. So if we're going to approach the holy God in prayer, we cannot go to God and demand things as some self-righteous individual. We must humbly approach him, admitting those truths. And then David describes what his enemies have done to him. Look at verses 3 and 4. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. David's enemies said many negative things about David that produced some very negative effects. We may notice that the word enemy is singular, but in verses 9 and 12, it's plural. David had many enemies, but of course the driving power behind all of them was Satan. And David's enemy persecuted his soul, and they crushed his life, and they forced him to live in dark places, and they caused his spirit to be overwhelmed, and they caused his heart to be appalled. These people were literally having a major negative effect on David. As we have seen in the Psalms, many of the things they did against him were verbal. People were always talking about him behind his back and running him down. Then David describes his memory of God's word and work. Look at verses 5 and 6. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you've done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Selah. As David was going through these things in life, the only thing that kept him going was this concept of God. And there are three specific things David did to cope. All three of those things begin with the letter M. First of all, David had memories of the days of old. David is thinking back on past ancient things God has done in his word when he dropped various enemies. There were some huge moments like the flood or Sodom and Gomorrah and the Egyptians in the Red Sea and the various conquests of Joshua. Furthermore, when David remembered the days of old, he could think back on those moments in life when God had done things for him. He could think back on those days he was watching the sheep and God protected him from a bear and a lion. He could think back on those times he fought Goliath and God won. Having memories of what God is capable of doing is a wonderful key to praying with confidence. And then David meditated on all the acts of God. David spent his day thinking about the kinds of things God does. When you let your mind meditate on things, you begin to think of his power and being able to answer prayer. And then he mused on the works of God. That word muse is one that means to mentally consider. David let God's great work in creation and redemption roll through his mind. He would look at the sky or at animals or at life and think about the tremendous work of God. And then verse 6 says that as David was doing this, he stretched out his hand to God. His parched soul thirsted after God. His soul searched for God like parched ground searches for water. Then David said Selah, which means stop and think about that. When we find ourselves low, one of the best things we could do is to let our mind think about the greatness of God. Think about God's sovereignty and his omnipotence. That kind of thinking that can lead one to realize that I'm praying to a powerful God. And thinking accurately about God was one of the critical factors in David praying to God. But then we see David ask God for a quick response. Look at verses 7 through 9. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. So when he prays, he did want instant answers. He wanted instant deliverance from his enemies. He wanted God to immediately intervene and come to his rescue. In fact, verse 8 says he wanted an answer by morning. He would become like those who go down to the pit. David needed a quick answer because he literally thought he was going to die. He trusts in God. That's what trouble should do. It causes us to trust in God. God permits us to get into situations in which we can trust God. And then he needs God to teach him the way to walk. And we need to be taught by God in the ways we should walk when we are in trouble. In order for that to happen, we need to talk with God. It's one thing to pray to get out of trouble. It's quite another to ask God to teach us how to live when we are in trouble. And then he takes refuge in his relationship with God. And so when most people find themselves in difficulty, they do not run to God as a refuge, but David did. And then David asked God to help him spiritually develop. Verses 10 through 12. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant. So there's some desires that David had. David wanted God to teach him. There are lessons to be learned when going through difficult times. God is able to teach us those lessons if we ask him and desire to learn them. And then David wanted God's Spirit to lead him. God's Spirit is good. God's Spirit will always lead him to that which is good. All things do work together for good to those who love God. But in order for the believer to know that, God's Spirit must be in control. And then David wanted God to revive him. And he wanted God to bring him out of trouble. And he wanted God to cut off his enemies. And he wanted God to destroy those who afflicted his soul. We should notice how many enemies David wanted God to eliminate. He wanted him to eliminate all of them. David wanted God to destroy his enemies and be merciful to him. David was willing to talk to God about them and then leave it to God to destroy them. Enemies can do you great harm. And when we're attacked, we need to pray. That's what David did, and he ended that psalm by reminding God that he was God's servant.